This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right, it is not. It is a receiver of thought. Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, coming to you from an altitude of 5,280 feet. Wherever you are listening or watching this, be sure to hit subscribe so you never miss out on High Altitude Tick from Mile High. And this particular episode, I am very thrilled that you all get to spend more time with Hugh Little. Anytime I spend or my team spends with Hugh Little, we love and enjoy. He is absolutely the chiropractic sales wizard. And with all that's going on in the world in 2020, having an increased ability to navigate your sales of chiropractic to your prospective chiropractic practice members is a vital skill set to grow with. So thank you for joining us, Hugh Little.
Well, hey, Danny. How's everything a mile further up in the air than I am?
Things are all good here, and I know you're familiar with the thin altitude at Mile High territory, being a former resident. And to have people get to know you a little bit better, Hugh Little has been working, serving, helping people, training people in sales for, I think about 40 years, maybe longer, and has helped many chiropractic teams. He helps us with all aspects of Lifetime Wellness and Mile High and teaches at Lifetime Wellness programs, and we actually first met him as a sales trainer. He's a local sales trainer, and he has helped us in many areas. So, Hugh Little, can you help people get to know you a little bit better? How did you find your way to chiropractic?
Well, I started selling a little over 50 years ago in 1970, and I had just gotten out of the Air Force. I had five job opportunities and decided that I would do the sales one because there wasn't a ceiling on income, and I'm a pretty good talker, so I just figured I'd be laughing my way to the bank every Friday. Well, it didn't exactly turn out that way. If hearing no was fatal, I'd have been dead in 1970 because I heard no a whole lot more than I heard the word yes when I was having sales conversations. And as time went on, because I was able to spend some time with some good mentors and read some good books and just self-educate, really the only thing I had going for me at that point in time in terms of sales was that I was just too stubborn to give up. So I just kept going. And I learned a lot along the way, sold a variety of different things, everything from financial services to advertising to roofing to milk. And that's actually how Danny and I met each other the very first time. Is I was the sales manager for a local dairy in Colorado, and I went to Danny's house and talked with him about having milk delivered to his house, and he did, and he became my client there. And he didn't remember exactly where he met me until a little bit later on in the process, after I started coaching his team in selling chiropractic services. And really, it's because Danny was one of my very first clients when I started my practice. And so I've been working with Danny and his teams for a little over 11 years now. And I just fell in love with chiropractic, and especially the kind of chiropractic that Danny and his office practice. And just started meeting other chiropractors. And so eventually my practice changed focus from doing coaching for a whole lot of different kinds of professions to just the chiropractic profession. So it's been a great ride, and I couldn't be happier than I am when I'm working with chiropractors.
And because especially you get to see how much you know they're impacting other people's lives through helping convert people to receiving care.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, and I got to add something to that story. You may or may not know this, Hugh. Like, you actually were able to sell milk delivery to someone who doesn't drink milk. That's pretty amazing. Was at that point, I wasn't drinking any dairy. But, you know, so that's a pretty amazing feat.
Well, it just happened to be the best milk in the entire world. So
yeah, so there you go.
Try some. You got to try that kind.
And that being said, let's dive into sales and thinking about sales, because often many chiropractors, chiropractic teams, chiropractic professionals, chiropractic students think of sales as a four-letter word. So why are people afraid of sales?
Because they have had really negative interactions with salespeople in the past. Anybody that's old enough to have bought anything from a salesperson probably has encountered somebody who is a twist your arm, won't take no for an answer, argues, shames you, just really carries on and acts ugly if you don't want to buy what they're selling. And so people automatically will have some sales resistance when they initially come into your office. And that's one of the reasons why, because of the sales resistance that we feel, and everybody's done this. Everybody has gone into a store of some kind and had a salesman come up, and because they haven't been properly trained, they ask a closed-ended question and they say, can I help you? And Danny, what's the answer to that question almost all the time?
No.
No, because why?
They don't want to be sold.
Because I'm just looking.
Right.
I'm just looking. Now, I'm a really good husband. If we're driving someplace and Priscilla says, you know, I've been thinking about getting a new sofa for the front room, could we stop at the furniture store and look at sofas? I'll stop and look at sofas. I'm really good about that kind of thing. My wife has never said to me, hey, why don't we just stop at the furniture store and look around? We always know why we're going in there. And so if a salesperson was smart enough to say, hi, how can I help you? Or what are you looking for? Open-ended questions, we would have told them sofas. Oh, well, let me show you where the sofas are. And then they have an opportunity to talk on the way there. So everybody has probably done that to one extent or another. And that's sales resistance. And it's really, really common. So because chiropractors are doctors and they have a helping mentality, they don't want to be really involved or connected with in any way the idea of being a pushy, obnoxious, aggressive, in-your-face salesperson, and rightfully so. So if they learn how to sell in a way that's not that, and you see, honestly, Danny, I believe that it's not our job as salespeople to get other people to do what we want them to do, or think they should do, or even know they should do. Hey, we know that everybody needs chiropractic, and it'd probably be good if everybody had network chiropractic. That'd probably be a pretty good deal if they could do that as a part of their health care. And the thing about that is that even though we know that they need it, it's really a matter of whether they want it or not. So to be a really good salesperson, you have to find out what people want and why they want it. And if you know that and you can explain to them what's in it for them, if they experience care in your office, then you're well on your way to a positive buying experience. And that kind of sales isn't icky. It's not scary. It's not going to offend anybody. It's not going to be uncomfortable for the salesperson or for the prospect if it's done correctly. So you know, Danny, there are some things that really have to be considered when it comes to chiropractic and selling. And one of those things is that it really is pretty impossible for you to scale your practice if there aren't some things that you're doing and doing really well. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, even though you may have some listeners who don't have cash practices and maybe are in a community where it's difficult to have a cash practice because there are a lot of older people. Like down here in Florida, it's God's waiting room, and there's a lot of older people, and everybody's on Medicare. And so it's a little tougher for chiropractors here sometimes to set up cash practices. Having a cash practice and selling packages is really the only way, in my opinion, that you can get your practice to the point where you're really making some serious money. So that's number one consideration. The second thing is that, unfortunately, and I think this is a great tragedy, I've talked to so many chiropractors from different chiropractic schools, and I've asked them, hey, what did you get teaching about in chiropractic school about selling? Well, nothing. They didn't teach us about that at all. And so you have chiropractors coming out of school and some chiropractors who are in practice for years and years after they get out of school, and they don't have the foggiest idea what they're doing in terms of selling. And the third consideration about that is that your profitability in your practice is totally dependent on sales. Without sales, there's no revenue, and without revenue, there's no profit. So if you want to scale your practice and you want to have a really profitable, kick-ass practice where you're making enough money to run your practice the way you want to run it, to have the lifestyle that you want to have, you've got to get good at sales. And there's a direct correlation between the amount of income that you have coming into your practice and how good you are at selling. If you're lousy at selling, your cash flow is going to be lousy. If you're pretty good at selling, your cash flow is going to be pretty good. If you're extraordinary at selling, your cash flow is going to be extraordinary. So those are all things that chiropractors should really take into account, and it's reasons why they really need to be able to sell effectively, and they need to learn how to do that. And it's selling chiropractic care is relatively easy after you learn how to do it. and it's not that easy if you don't know how to do it. So I think that chiropractors fall into a number of different categories when it comes to they're wanting to be able to sell well. There are some chiropractors who are just barely squeaking by, or maybe they're not getting by at all, and they really want to learn how to sell. And so that's a good thing. And sometimes they're not even making enough cash flow to be able to comfortably make the investment. And to those folks, I would say, do whatever you need to, even if it's uncomfortable, to find someone who can help you really get great at selling. And it's not an expense. If you are in a mentoring program with Danny Knowles, or you're in sales coaching with me, or you have a marketing coach, or you have a business advisor, that's not a cost in your business. That's an investment in your business, because it's going to produce way more revenue and profitability than the investment that you're making, the amount of money that you're doing. So find a way to get some help at some level so that you start learning how to be great at selling. There are other chiropractors who are doing okay. They're making the bills. Things are going along. They're able to do some things, and they really want it to be more. They would really like to have more in their lives and more in their practice. They want more time freedom. They want to be able to buy more equipment. They want to be able to serve more people. They want to be able to just live the lifestyle that they really want, and they want to have more. Well, if you want to have more in your practice and you don't have that right now, the best way to do that is get better at selling. When you get better at selling, then your revenue is going to increase, your profitability is going to increase, you're going to be able to do more things. There also are a group of chiropractors who are just completely satisfied with themselves and their practices. And to those folks, I would just ask, how would it be if things were even better? Because you can always get better. No matter how much you know, no matter how well things are going, you can always get better at what you do. You can always do that. One more thing, Danny, and then I'll let you ask another question. You know, I do like to talk. And that one more thing is this. If you are doing the selling yourself, chiropractors, that's okay temporarily. And you need to really get great at selling yourself. You need to do that for you. Because you never know when team members are going to come, when they're going to go, when you might have to take over the sales conversations for a little while. So you've got to be good at it. And as quickly as possible, you need to hire a team member who shows the ability to be coached and trained in selling so that they can take over that part of the practice for you. So that they can do the day ones, they can do the day two financial conversations, so that they can do the beyond wellness conversations that happen after the initial immersion period. And when you have somebody who's doing that for you and generating revenue for you, first of all, you can spend more time. Danny's favorite phrase is more people on more tables more often. And that's how you do that. You have a team who's taking care of the other aspects of your practice so that you can devote your time just to taking care of your practice members. So if you're spending your time adjusting and doing reports of findings, if you're doing those two things and you have a team that's doing other things and you're just checking in and watching and observing to see what's going on to make sure they're doing it correctly, you're going to be able to scale your practice just in doing that much. So those are just some of the considerations I think that chiropractors need to take into account when it comes to really scaling a practice and making it bigger and better and more profitable.
Yes, and those are all very vital things. Unfortunately, many people that are chiropractors, maybe the most incredible healing art on the planet, never scale beyond themselves. And that leaves less people on less tables less often. So one of the biggest ahas I learned from you many years ago in selling and sales was this. So often as a chiropractor, and there's this place of I'm convincing a person. I've got to win this conversation. I've got to get some kind of leverage to twist their arm. I've got to turn them around like it's a battle. And somewhere, and then you taught me something, the complete opposite of that, which was you taught that they're on your team like you're playing doubles. Can you, and that was a huge aha for me, as compared to that they're on the other side of the court. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, when you're having sales conversations, it's not you against them, and it's not like a prize fight. There's got to be a winner. There's got to be a loser. And if you can knock them out and take away all of their objections and just overwhelm them with logic and information and make them change their mind, selling isn't that now. It used to be. Back when I first started, it was exactly that. I heard a very, at that time, very prominent sales trainer and motivational speaker say, your job, your prospects have your money in their pockets, and your job is to do everything short of going to jail to get the money out of their pockets into yours. And that's how sales was taught. And it's one of the reasons sales has such a bad reputation, because that's what it was for years. Now it's not that. First of all, your potential practice members who are coming into your office to see you are way more sophisticated than people were back in that time. They're more educated. They have the internet. They've already looked you up. They know what you do. They know what kinds of things are being said about you on the internet. They know how long you've been in business. They know all of that stuff. So you don't have to do a flip chart type thing to go through and explain to them, you know, everything about what you do and how you do it and who you are, because they've got a pretty good idea already. What you want to find out from people is what they want and why they want it. And as I mentioned a minute ago, it's not a matter, people don't buy what they need. They buy what they want. And all you have to do is look at the buying habits of the American public, and you know that that is absolutely true. The good news is, and you may not be experiencing this yet, the good news is, though, that there are so many people out there in your local community who want what you have to offer. They want optimal health. They want some relief from symptoms. They want to get well and stay that way. They want to feel good. They want to function well. They want to be able to go out and do the activities they want to do. They don't want to be held back from doing that. They'd really like to create their own life and their own health instead of letting their health create their life. So if that's what they want and you can give it to them, they will buy from you because they want that emotionally. You see, selling isn't a matter of head stuff. It's a matter of heart stuff. People buy what they want for emotional reasons. If we go out and buy clothes, typically we don't stand in front of the mirror and say, well, I can tell that this is well made and it's classic lines and it's not going to go out of style, so I'll be able to wear it for a long time. And no, we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, oh man, do I ever look sharp wearing that? That's awesome. We buy cars the same way. You know, we want the cars because it smells better and looks better, and it has bells and whistles that our one right now doesn't have. And what we actually need in a car is just something that'll get us where we're trying to go. We don't really need all of that other stuff, but we want it, and we buy cars because of that. Listen, it's not any different with chiropractic. People are not going to buy chiropractic care because they need it. They're going to buy it because they want a result. So in your sales conversations, instead of trying to convince them that they need it and that they should want it, you're just trying to find out whether they want it and how bad do they want it, and are they willing to make the investment that's necessary to have it. And so you're really it's like Danny said about the playing tennis. You're not playing singles across the net, you're playing doubles, and it's you and your prospective practice member against all of the junk that's going on in their lives, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that could change tremendously in a great way because they receive chiropractic care, and you're trying to help them get what they want. And if you go into your sales conversations with that attitude and that intention, that I want to help these people get what they want, whatever it is, and if they don't want it, you know, if that's not something that they want right now, this is my favorite phrase, Danny, you know this. You're not the jackass whisperer. You don't have to convince somebody that chiropractic is really, really legitimate and that it really works and that they really should do it. You don't have to do that. You're just, in your marketing and in your selling, you're looking for people who want what you have. So that's one of the great things about having a dinner or a class and talking to people about health and what they really can have if they really want it. And that kind of weeds out the people who want it and the people who don't. If they don't want it, they're not even going to come in to have an initial conversation. If they come into your office and they're sitting in front of you and they're having a conversation with you, there is something in their lives that they don't like and they want to get rid of it. Or there's something that they don't have in their life and they want it really badly. And so they want to change something and they're willing to do almost anything to have that thing that they want either gone or in their lives, one or the other. If you can find out what that is and what the emotional power is behind that want, you're well on your way to a positive buying decision. If you don't know what they want and you're just assuming that everybody needs chiropractic, so these people want chiropractic, you're really making a mistake. You can't prejudge. You've got to ask good, open-ended questions and listen to them with your ears, your mind, and your heart, and just really focus in and find out what they want. And if you can give it to them and they want it, then there's only one question that's left. And that is, are they going to be an ideal practice member? And an ideal practice member is willing and able to invest their time, their energy, and their money to have the care that you provide in your office. If they're willing to do that, they're able to do that, and they want it, you've got a new practice member. As long as you're skillful at selling, you've got a new practice member.
And I love that you're on the same team, because it's so often that chiropractors think like, oh, like they'll come out of, a person starting care. I'm talking not myself, not you, not the people that we work with, but I've heard this over and over again. They'll come out of the room of converting the person into a paying patient and say, I can't believe they fell for it. I can't believe they went for it. And that's not the spirit of what you want to open that relationship. I want to ask you one more question, but before I do that, let's take a moment. How can people connect with you after this podcast if they want to learn more about Red Cap Sales Coaching?
They could do that in two different ways. They could go to my website at redcapsalescoaching.com, and there's a lot of great stuff there for chiropractors. There's free videos, there's podcasts, there's blogs that are there that are available. Just a wealth of information just on the on there. And if they would really like to have a conversation and talk specifics about their practice and their sales and what's going on and get some good tips and ideas and strategies, they actually can go to my calendar and schedule a time to chat with me. And that's at bit.ly/wizard-strategy.
Great. And let me ask you this now. This is the last question I want to ask, and it's an important one, which is, you've trained lots of team members of mine and lots of team members of other chiropractors around the world. And with that, what are some of the things for people that are watching or listening to this and are training their own team? What are some things to help them train their teams and the hurdles you see you have to overcome?
First of all, when you hire someone, if they're going to be involved in the sales portion of it, and I'll hasten to say that my opinion is that everybody in a chiropractic office needs to be exceptional at selling, because you never know when somebody's going to get sick, when they're going to go on vacation, when somebody else is going to have to step into that role in order to keep the sales and the revenue going for a period of time. So, and that includes the chiropractor, because as I mentioned before, you never know necessarily how long a team member is going to stay. And I'm not going to talk out of school here too much, Danny, but you'd had one experience years ago where you actually had an entire team that quit all at the same time. Mm-hmm. For various reasons, but that were individual to them, but everybody kind of decided, okay, it's time to go, and you had to start from scratch building a team over again. Right. So during that time, you had to do the selling yourself. So that's why it's so good when everybody in the office has the skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you're looking for team members, if if somebody can't lead in silent prayer, they're probably not going to be a good salesperson. if they're so introverted that it's really difficult and uncomfortable for them to talk with people, you may want to hire them for a different position. They may be a great analytical person who can keep your records in shape and all of your filing done and just, you know, those kinds of things. And they're not good with people, and they're not able to have really comfortable conversations with people. Anybody that can have a conversation comfortably can be tremendous at selling, because that's what selling is nowadays. It's a conversation. It's not a presentation anymore. So, and I would say that this to chiropractors as well, as you hire team members, even if you are well-versed in selling, it probably is not to your advantage to take a whole lot of time training your own team. Have me or some other sales wizard train your team for you. And that's an investment that will pay off many, many, many times over, because for most chiropractors, Danny, I know this is for a fact, this is true for you, you run a busy schedule and there's so much stuff that's going on. And so don't take a whole lot of time training your own team if somebody else can do that for you. And if it would be okay with you, Danny, I'd like to just say something about a way that people can get their team trained in a very economical way right now because of COVID. There's a new program that is now available through RedCap, and it consists of 7 videos with transcripts, with quizzes, my book, an outline to help you set up a training program for team members, and scripts, and it'll take you all the way through the process of selling chiropractic care to your potential practice members. And because of COVID, we just wanted to do something that was really economical, because I know there are a lot of chiropractors whose practices have really been negatively affected by the whole COVID thing. They're not making as much money as they were. That whole program is only $297, and that's on the front page of my website. So you can click a link. You can take a look at what's involved in it. If you want to take advantage of it, you can. That would be great. And it's kind of a first step. And as you start generating more revenue, if you want to move into group coaching or one-to-one coaching, you have that available too. It's just sort of a beginning place, even for people who aren't making a whole lot of money right now. And I mean, you could get one more practice member that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise, and that's all taken care of. And it's just a one-time, it's not a monthly or anything. It's just a one-time purchase.
And I cannot emphasize how great an opportunity that is. You know, here's the thing. BJ Palmer was probably one of the best chiropractic salesperson that ever lived. And BJ Palmer said, I will sell chiropractic, right? And serve chiropractic. And sales is vital. It connects people to receiving care. And it's not a four-letter word, for sure. In fact, it's necessary for people to be able to have their lives changed through chiropractic. And it's something people have to have ease around and be joyous about, as compared to the to be fearful of. And I've got to thank you, for all your help. I will say we've had 3 times in my career where we've had all the team members leave, and I had to retrain everybody. I'll leave the podcast with some Daniel Knowles wisdom in the hiring department that I've come to terms. When I hire someone, I think of these things as I'm looking at them or looking at their paperwork, or I'm interviewing them or talking to them face to face. 1, can I see them doing an initial consultation, which involves sales? Number two, even if you're just talking about their health, it's that. Number two, can I see them discussing money with a person? Can I see, feel, hear them doing that as I'm face-to-face with them? Number three, can I see them talking in front of a group? If they can be, can I see them speaking in front of a group? And then the fourth thing is, could I see them as a manager? Because anybody that I'm starting at front desk or any lowly they're filing, I want to see, could I see them managing this? Because I want them to have a long-term relationship, 3, 5, 10 years in my office. I want to see them become a manager, because if they're the newest hiree, my intention is that they're the longest standing. They're the future of the office. And if I don't see them as a future manager, then why am I hiring them, even if it's just for filing? Right?
Right.
So thank you, Hugh Little. And once again, let's tell people again how they get in touch with you.
RedCapSalesCoaching.com. And you can also go to my calendar at bit.ly/wizard-strategy.
And we will put that in the blog notes that attach to this. And I highly say you look to take them up on this. That's transformed our practice, Mile High Lifetime Wellness. And a lot of the teaching we do would not exist without the mentoring of Hugh Little. So that being said, we look forward to seeing all of you at the next Mile High, June. We're moving to June, June 3rd to 6th, 2021. And I know people are going to be very much looking forward to getting together at that point. We'll see you on higher ground in June. And remember to hit subscribe and never miss any Mile High tip. Thank you for all you do, Hugh Little.
Oh, my pleasure, Danny. And thanks for having me on the podcast. This was fun.
Thank you. And if you want to get more information about Mile High in June, milehighchiroregistration.com. We'll see you there.